We're holding on Ayin Omud Bey is about the middle of the wide lines. The line begins, Ochel Be'ibra Chodesh. So the Mishnah had described that in order for a boy to be a Ben Sarimoda, it has to be that he has to be that he eats meat and drinks wine. Where he gets the money for that, we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah. And we said it has to be that he eats it, that he doesn't eat it as part of a mitzvah or as part of, or that there's an aveira involved. The only aveira involved can be the actual eating of the ben sora remota, which is itself osur. But no, but for example, we said it can't be tshrei for meat or anything like that, and it can't be that there was any mitzvah involved. And we also learned the last thing we learned yesterday is it has to be in a company of empty-headed people. So now the Mishnah had said, Ochel be'ibra chodesh. The Mishnah had given an example where he eats at the meal of ibra chodesh. So this would be, in other words, the Beis Din sometimes, of course, when they were making, when they were declaring Rosh Chodesh based on Edim, sometimes you'd be have a 29-day month, sometimes a 30-day month. So when there was a 30-day month, then in order to publicize it, they would have they would have something called the Sudas Ibra Chodesh. So now the Gemara says, remember the boss of a yain, the boss of a yain masku. Are you telling me to begin with that people would bring meat and wine to a Sudas Ibra Chodesh, such that we could say then that if the Ben Sora Ramoda eats his meat, his half roasted meat, like we learned yesterday, and his half diluted wine to such a Suda, then nevertheless he wouldn't be a Ben Sora Ramoda because there is a mitzvah involved. A mitzvah de rabbanan, but a mitzvah nonetheless. V'hatanya, but we learn a braisa, ein olam lo ela b'pas dogan v'kitnis belvad. To that sudas ibra chodesh, we bring only bread. Pas dogan means specifically bread made from grain, as opposed to bread made from beans or something like that. And kitnis and beans. The point of it is that the point of it is it's a now Rashi makes the point. It's not we're not talking about that this Suda is to determine whether to make it a 30-day month. This is already after it's been declared a 30-day month. So this is just to publicize it. Rashi, by the way, points out, I don't know why it has to say pas dogon. It does mean, and as opposed to, for example, bread made out of rice or other grains outside the five grains like that, but why does it need to specify the word dogon? There's an explanation that if it just said pass kitnis, you have a similar Gemara elsewhere. You have a Gemara in Bava Metzia that uses the word pass vikitnis, and the Gemara wonders whether it's supposed to be pass vikitnis or pass kitnis. And the Gemara ends up saying it is in fact pas v'kitnis. So here to begin with the Tana of this Braisa, then in that case, put in the word dogon in the first place in order to make it clear that it means bread. And that the kitnis is something separate. Anyway, the point of it is we don't want them to get drunk. We don't want we it's true, we're not talking about eon, we're not talking about looking into whether it's gonna be a 30-day month or not, but nevertheless we want them to still have a clear head. And then the Yad Ramah explains also that it's also we don't want to embarrass anybody who doesn't have better food. And then also it should be Aliyah Lishma. They should be going up there Lishma. So they only have that kind of food. So there's no bread and wine there in the first place. So the answer is Hakamash Malon. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Afagabda ain't Olam, the Elab pass for kitnis. Even though normally they only bring bread and beans there, the Iu Asik boss of a Yayin v'ochal, he brought their meat and wine and he ate it. So maybe we should say, well, look, he's not even following the rules. Maybe we should say that then he can be a Ben Sora Moda for that. No, given him a mitzvah ka'osik, since after all, he is doing a mitzvah, there is a mitzvah involved over here where of publicizing that it's Rosh Chodesh, loy mimshich, therefore he's not gonna get too involved with that, and he's not gonna do this again and again. And therefore we don't have the whole idea of the Ben Sora Moda is that we're concerned, the Torah is concerned that if he does this again and again, steals this money, eats this food, etc. He's going to do this again and again, and eventually he's going to end up being a robber and harming people. So the Torah wants to head that off to begin with. If he's doing it at a Sudas Mitzvah, then that's less likely. Okay, so let's learn a little detail about this Sudas Ibra Chodesh. Tanan Rabbanan, Ein Olin b'Ibra Chodesh Pochas Me'asar Bnei Adam. To have such a Sudas Ibra Chodesh, you have not less than 10 people. Again, like we said, you bring only bread and beans there, no fancier foods than that for the various reasons that we just mentioned. When do we go and have such a meal on the night after the 30th day? So in other words, this has been a 30-day month. So now, the next day, the 31st of the previous month, is going to be the first of the new month and is going to be Rosh Chodesh. That is when we have this. That is when we have this Suda. Now, this is all according to Rashi. The Yad Ramah actually has a very different understanding of this whole thing. Rashi had mentioned the point. Rashi had stressed that this is Shaloyla Ayin. This is not in order to determine whether it's a 30-day month, because that's already been determined earlier in the day, and they don't need to be Mekadosh it even at this point. Rather, this is just to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh. The Yad Ramah actually has a much different understanding, and he understands that we are talking about on the night going into the 30th. And therefore, and it's actually in order to determine whether it's actually to determine whether we should make it a 30-day month or not. So then, in that case, so that being the case, then the reason why not to bring bread and wine is again because we want them to have a, why not to bring meat and wine is because we want to have them. We want them to have a clear mind. We don't go into such a meal by day, only by night. Tosfos points out, once we already said that it's Lo'uri Bure, why do we need to mention this again? Because otherwise we would have thought that it still means Lo'uri Bure maybe means the day before the Ibur, maybe on the 29th day. Well, the Gemara says, wait a minute, what are you telling me? We go Dafka by night. V'atanya, we learn in a Braisa the other way around. The Suda that we're talking about, the Suda Seibur HaChodesh, is not by night, but rather by day. So what is it? Do we do it by night, or do we do it by day or by night? And the answer is, as we find that Rav Chiya Ba'aba told his sons who were going to such a Suda, he tells them, Achrifu v'ulu, go in there ahead of time. You want to be sitting there by night, because by night the voices travel more, so therefore it'll make more publicity. On the other hand, he's telling them, go in and start the Suda while it's still day. That way people, passers-by, will see that you're going in there, and that way they'll also be more piercing for it. And he tells them, when you're leaving, then also leave early in the morning. This way people will hear you. So in other words, they're supposed to have the Suda go on all night. So they start it shortly before nightfall, and you leave there early in the morning. That way people who see you leaving realize that you were forbringing there all night, and that way there's a piercing. As opposed to if they see you coming out of it later on, then they're going to think that just you had a meal just now, first thing in the morning. They're not going to realize that it was actually taking place all night. So in other words, in short, Rav Chiya Ba'aba is telling his children to make sure that it lasts all night. So that reconciles both braises. It does mostly take place by night, but it begins still while it's daytime, and it ends when it's daytime. That's all according to Rashi. The Rambam actually learns differently, and it means that they would start the Suda before sunrise. So what it means is, in other words, that both Braises are talking about the beginning of the Suda, but it means, in other words, they're starting it between Alois HaShachar and Netzach Hamah. So therefore, for some purposes it's day, and for some purposes it's night. Incidentally, this gets into the whole issue, into the whole matter of Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Here we're talking about that you have Davka Suda that they would have when they're declaring a 30-day month, and we're talking about that. More generally, though, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch that a person should make himself a nicer Suda on Rosh Chodesh. Mitzvah laharbis v'sudas Rosh Chodesh. It's one of those two simonim in Shulchan Aruch. That's only one line. Siman Tov Yud Tes in Orach Chaim. That says mitzvah laharbis v'sudas Rosh Chodesh. And one of the sources that comes for that is this. There's a relevant Yerushalmi and so on and so forth. So there is the point that such a thing is considered to be a sudas mitzvah. Anyway, the point is, again, that even though it's not normal to bring meat and wine to it, nevertheless, if he did, then he wouldn't become a Ben Sora Remora because it was a Sodas Mitzvah. I mean, you have to ask anyway, especially according to the Yad Ramah that we're talking about, that this is actually to determine whether it's going to be Rosh Chodesh or not. Then we also said it has to be a company of empty-headed people. I mean, how are they going to be the ones to determine that anyway? But okay, fine. It means that maybe... So maybe it means that they decided to get together and they're going to be they're going to at least publicize that that Rosh Chodesh is coming. Maybe the idea is, in other words, it wasn't only the members of the Beis Din who are determining Rosh Chodesh who would make such a Suda. Any group of 10 people could get together and make such a Suda. They wouldn't necessarily be the ones to determine whether it's Rosh Chodesh, but nevertheless, they would help publicize the matter. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Ochel Maisa Sheni b'Yerushalayim, that if he ate Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, he's not a Ben Sarer murder, because Kivin de Ki'uchel, who de Ka'ochel, because he's eating, because he's eating it in the normal way. It's normal to take Maisa Sheni money and buy meat and wine with it, like Mimshich, then therefore we're not concerned that he's going to end up doing that again, that he's going to do that again and again. There is the point, of course, it is a Suras Mitzvah as well. However, the Tiferes Yisrael points out that maybe you could say, listen, the Mitzvah is that Maisa Sheni should be eaten in Yerushalayim, so therefore, so you can't really, so it doesn't necessarily mean any particular person has to eat it, so therefore, but nevertheless, so maybe you wouldn't call it a Suras Mitzvah, but the point is he is doing with it what's supposed to be done with Maisa Sheni, and therefore it's not something that he's going to end up getting addicted to. Okay. On the other hand, we said in the Mishnah, Ochel Nevela Satrefa Shkotzim Ramasim. We said that if he eats Nevela, Trefa, and other kinds of food that's also like that, then also he doesn't become a Ben Sarer murderer. So, Omar Rava, Ochel B'sar Oif. So in this connection, and the point is, I mean, you would think that logically he should. I mean, he's violating then not only what his parents want of him, but also what Hashem wants of him. Nevertheless, that's gzeris hakosev. That's how it is. That only if his meal is not otherwise violating Torah, only then is he punishable as a ben sarer murder. Okay. So Omar Rava, Ochel B'sar Oif Ein Nasa Ben Sarer Murder. Rava says that if he eats bird meat, chicken, or other kinds of birds, then he's not a Ben Sarer Murder for the same reason he's not going to end up doing that again and again. The reason that we're having throughout the parak again and again, loy mimshich basrei, he's not likely to get so much into this. Meaning, in other words, a person eats beef, for example. Person eats animal meat. Then he feels like doing that again and again. As opposed to over here, he eats bird meat. It's likely to be a one time thing, or not so often that he's going to do it again and again. So the Gemara says, "Vohanan tnan ochon nevelus atreifas shkotzim or amosim in a nasa ben sarer murder." The Mishnah had mentioned when he eats non-kosher food, then he's not a ben sarer murder. Hot tahorim, implying that if it's any tahor creature, nasa ben sarer murder. So who says where do you see in the Mishnah that it has to be that it has to dafka be animal that it has to dafka be animal meat? So the answer is kitnan nami masnisin lahashlim. Fine, but what the Mishnah is talking about to complete it, as we learned in the Mishnah, in order for him to be chayev, he needs to eat a tartimer of meat, which is a certain weight we talked about yesterday, approximately 12 ounces, give or take. So therefore, so if he mostly ate it of animal meat, and then some of it was bird meat, then it's mashlim, then we can say he's chayev in the aggregate because altogether he ate a tartimer of meat. In other words, as opposed to if we were to be mashlim it with trefa meat, then it wouldn't work. So therefore, on the other hand, if he eats the whole tartimer or most of it out of bird meat, then it wouldn't work and he wouldn't be a ben sarer murder. All right. The Mishnah had then continued dvar mitzvah, ochol dvar shu mitzvah, udvar avera. The Mishnah had said if he eats something that is a mitzvah or something that is an avera, so what else are we adding besides what we said before? Dvar mitzvah would be, for example, tanchumi avelim. If he eats by a meal to be menachem ovel, so it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And therefore, that doesn't make him a ben sarer murder. Now, we did mention before the Suras Ibra Chodesh, which is also the Rabbanan, but the point is there we needed to explain the whole Chiddush about that he brought meat and wine, even though that's not normally something that's done. As opposed to, here we're including all the other, see, here we're including all other mitzvahs to Rabbanan. For example, Tanchomei Avelin, Dvar Avera. So that Rashi explains that that's the point. In other words, that we mentioned the chavuras mitzvah. So you would think maybe that means you would think without that chavuras mitzvah means, let's say, for example, koyanim eating kodshim or something. You wouldn't realize that it means even a mitzvah derabanan like that. Dvar Aveira, what do we include as a matter of an Aveira, would be, for example, Tainis Tzibur. Let's say, for example, he eats on a fast day. Even though it's only also Drabanan, nevertheless, it's still not a Ben Sora murder. The time am I, why not? Because the pasuk says the parents say to Beis Din, "Einenu shemea b'keleinu." He doesn't listen to our voice. Now, so what does that add? It means b'keleinu v'loy b'kola shel makom. It means he's not listening to our voice, but not that we're saying that he's not listening to Hashem's voice. So in other words, if his eating also is disobeying Hashem, and after all, d'rabbanan's also lo sasur min adavar is also a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah midaraisa to listen to the chachamim. So therefore, it comes out therefore that he's also disobeying Hashem. You're going to say obviously kavachomer, but that's a gzeres hakasev, and that's it. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Ocho kol maicho v'loy ocho basa, shasa kol mashke v'loy shasa yayin v'chola." We said if he ate any other food other than meat, or he drank any other drink other than wine, then he's not a ben soda murder. So, ocho kol maicho v'loy ocho basa, what is the Mishnah adding with that point? We already said that he has to eat meat and drink wine. So, by mentioning that point, la'asuya dvela ke'ilis, it comes to include if he ate figs from Ke'ila. Ke'ila is a city in Eretz Yisrael. The figs from there were particularly juicy and a little bit fermented, and therefore a person would eat them, and he would feel a little lightheaded. He would feel a little drunk. So even though it makes him drunk, even though it makes him lightheaded and drunk as a similar thing to wine, nevertheless it isn't wine, and that wouldn't make him a ben soda murder. Shasa kol mashke v'lo shasa yayin, and when it says he drank any other drink other than wine, lasui dvash v'cholav, that would come to include, for example, if he drank wine, if he drank honey or milk, which also have the ability, especially nowadays, to keep milk in the fridge and it's pasteurized and it doesn't ferment. But back in the day, sometimes the milk would start fermenting a little bit, and you'd have a certain alcohol content in it, and therefore it could make you lightheaded. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, we have an example where such things are considered a certain kind of drunkenness. If a person ate these figs from Keila or drank honey or wine, and he goes into the Beis Mikdash and does the Avoda, Chayev, and he'd be chayev malchus because he's doing the avoda when he's drunk. He wouldn't be chayev misa for it. The Gemara mentions elsewhere. But nevertheless, he wouldn't get misa. But the point is, we see that over there, eating and drinking these kinds of things is considered a type of drunkenness. But when it comes to ben soda remoto, then we don't. It has to davka be meat and davka wine. Okay. The Mishnah had said, "Ein anasa ben soda remoto ad sheyochal basa v'yishta yain." So it becomes a ben soda remoto only if he eats meat and drinks wine. And the Mishnah had said that a remez for that is the fact that the Torah calls him Zolol v'Soyve, a glutton and a drunkard. And we learned from a pasuk in Mishlei where it uses those terms about eating meat and about drinking wine. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ochol kol maicho v'lo ochol basar, if he ate any other food but not meat, Shasa kol mashke v'lo shasa yayin, and drank any other drinks but didn't drink wine, Ein anasa ben soda remoto. Only if he eats meat and drinks wine. Shenema, as we said, as we learned in the Mishnah, as the pasuk says, Zolo v'soyve, that he's a glutton and a drunkard. V'af b'shein raya l'dover, zeich l'dover. And even though there's no raya for it, there's a remembrance for it. Shenema, al tiv v'soyve yayin, as the pasuk says, don't be among those who drink wine. B'zolo v'vosolame, with those who are glutton, who gluttonously eat meat. So we see that the words glutton and drunkard, zolo and soyve, refer to in that pasuk to meat and wine. So far, it's the same as the Mishnah, but now the Braisa adds a detail, V'Omer, and he was another posuk in Mishlei that also refers to a solo, to a sove and a zolo, and talks about the negative effects of them. We learned all about yesterday about the negative effects of wine, so here's another one. The posuk says, Ki sove v'zolo yivoresh, the drunkard and the glutton are going there. The reason it's bringing it in, because the next posuk, having mentioned the posuk al ti b'sove yayin b'zolo v'asolamoy, the next posuk continues, Ki sove v'zolo yivoresh, because the drunkard and the glutton are going to end up poor. Or Kroyim Talbish Numa, and the people who are sleepy end up wearing ripped clothes.
So in other words, here he's into his hanos, and numa is he's into his hanos, meat and wine. And the upshot is he ends up using up all his money, and therefore he becomes poor, and he ends up having to wear ripped clothes. So the Gemara mentions another drosha on this pasuk. Reb Omer Reb Zera called a yoshin bebeis medrash, a person who sleeps in the beis medrash, teirasa nasas like kroyim kroyim. What happens is his teira ends up becoming for him rips upon rips. Meaning, in other words, he ends up forgetting his learning. All he remembers is bits and pieces of it. Shenemo kroyim talbish numa, because the word numa in that pasuk means sleepiness. So therefore, so his sleepiness results that he's being clothed in ripped clothing. What's the idea behind it? Is because the idea behind it is because if he falls asleep, if he's sleeping in the Beis Medrash, means in other words, like so. Meanwhile, people are going on, and meanwhile, people are going on and learning, and then he has a hard time catching up. So therefore, so all he ends up with ripped pieces, a little here, a little there. Because then he has to kind of skip to catch up with them, and therefore he ends up only knowing his Torah. It becomes very patchy. So that's another thing we learn from these words, okroim talbish numa. Next, the Mishnah says, gonav mishal aviv. Now, if he steals money from his father's rishus, v'ochal b'rishus aviv, and he eats the meat and wine also in his father's rishus, in his father's house or chotzer or whatever, or mishal achirim v'ochal b'rishus achirim, or he steals money from other people, not from his father, and he eats it in those other people's rishus, or mishal achirim. Or he steals from others and eats it in his father's rishus. Also, with those things, he does not become a ben sora murder. And even if, when we say that he stole from achirim and ate in achirim, Rashi points out, means even if he stole from one achirim and ate in a different achirim's rishus. When does he become a ben sora murder? It has to dafka be that he steals from his father and he eats the meat and wine in somebody else's rishus. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not enough that he steals from his father. It also has to be that he steals from his mother. So the Yad Ramah brings over here. Where do we know this from? He brings from Sifri, where the pasuk says, the pasuk starts off introducing the ben sora murder. Einenu shemeya b'kol ovav v'kol ima. He's not listening to his father. He's not listening to the voice of his father and of his mother. So you would think the Sifri says maybe that means anytime they tell him to do something and he doesn't do it, then he should be chayev. Then he should be a ben sora murder. No, we'll have gzeira shava on the word einenu shemeya. That it means that he's a zolo v'sovei and that he's stealing. We learn from a gzeira shava of it. So therefore, it also has to be so he's stealing from his father. And so Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that because it mentions that he doesn't listen to his father and to his mother, then therefore it means he has to steal from both of them in order to be chayev. So the Gemara explains why in the first three cases he not chayev. Gonav v'shal aviv v'ochal b'shus aviv. Af agav d'shchiach lei. It is true that it's easy for him to get the money because it is his father's money and it's available. Bois, but on the other hand, he's also afraid to eat in his father's rishus because his father then is going to realize what's going on. The son is stealing from him. Therefore, again, it's not going to be loy mimshich. He's not going to do this again and again. Why is he potter if he stole from others and ate it in the rishus of others? Again, even if it's different others. So there he's not afraid because they're not going to necessarily catch on so easily. But it's not as easy for him to get because he's not the other people's money is not as easily available to him. All the more so, the third case of the Mishnah, he stole from others, ate in the rishus of his father. Then for sure, there's two strikes against him being a ben sora murder. It's not easy for him to get a hold of that money, so it's probably not going to happen again and again. And he's afraid of his father. It's not easily available, and he's afraid. That's why it has to be he steals from his father and eats in the rishus of others. There it's easy for him to get the money and he's not afraid. That would be the case where he can become a ben sora murder. Next, the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Oima Ad Sheyignu Mishal Ovav Mishal Imai. The question is, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, Imai Minole, where does his mother have money in the first place? What a commercial concept is a concept kind of bylaw. Don't we have the general rule that whatever a wife acquires, her husband acquires, and therefore that the so she doesn't have any independent money of her own for the son to be stealing and becoming a ben sora mora. Now the Orach HaNeir points out. I mean, the Gemara could have given a simple answer later on. We're going to say it doesn't have to be that the parents are actually married to one another. They could have never been married in the first place. They could have been divorced. The Gemara could easily give such an answer, but instead, the Gemara wants to find a way that that the money will belong to her even if she and her husband are married. So the answer is, we're not talking about that he stole money from them necessarily. He stole meat and wine from a suda that was prepared for both of them. So the Gemara asks, so we learned before that he's not chayiv unless he buys the meat and the wine cheaply and eats and drinks. As we learned before, what it means is he finds a place where they're selling it at a lower price than normal. So we're not talking about that he stole actual meat and wine. We're talking about that he stole money and used it to buy meat and wine. Fine. Ella ema midmei soda mochenes la'avav le'imai. Fine. So what it means is that he stole money that was being set aside for soda for his parents. So that's one possibility. Iboisema, another possibility. Another possibility. Da'akni lo acher. Somebody else was makna the money to the mother. Va'omala, and he tells her, I'm giving you this money. On condition that your husband doesn't have any reshus in it. So now she would have independent money, and therefore, so Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the son would have to have stolen from her as well in order for him to be a ben sora mora. The halacha is like the chachamim, though it doesn't matter whether the stealing was done from the mother, but it does have to be from the father. Mishnah says, if the father wants to have the son judged as a ben sora mora and the mother does not, or the other way around, the father doesn't want and the mother does want, then he won't be a ben sora mora only if both of them agree. Because since the pasuk says it says his father and his mother grab a hold of him and they bring him to Beis Din and they tell Beis Din what's going on, so that implies both of them have to want it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im loy hoyse imay ru'uya la'aviv. So both of them have to agree. In fact, there is an interesting point that the there was an interesting point that Rabbeinu Bachaye makes the point. Then what's the idea behind it? So what's the idea behind the idea of Ben Sora Mora is that it teaches us that here you have Bederech Klal. You would say what kind of a father would want to have his son executed for doing these kinds of things. Nonetheless, the Torah is telling us that hypothetically it could happen, and that teaches us something about our relationship with the Eibishter, that it is we're Hashem's children. Nevertheless, though, we should realize we can't just get away with whatever we want. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Imloi ha'isa ima ru'uya la'aviv." Rabbi Yehuda says that if the mother was not suitable for the father, and then, in other words, as we'll see in the Gemara, what he means, "Ein inasa ben sora remota," then he won't be a ben sora remota unless they're allowed to be married in halacha. So let's focus on what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. My ein ru'uya. What do we mean exactly that she's not roy? Ilei machayve krisis v'chayve misses based in. Do we mean that the two parents are? Do we mean that the two parents are also to one another because there's kores or misas based in involved? Kores would be for example, all arayas involve kores. All arayas involve kores. Some of them also involve misas based in, as we've been learning earlier in the previous perek. So you're going to say that it means that they were also to marry one another on those grounds. But after all, why would we think that would prevent him from being a ben sora remota? The fact remains that the fact remains that those are his father and those are his mother. So he's going to be. There's no reason he shouldn't be chayav misa. Rather, what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says ru'uya la'aviv and ru'uya la'imay means that there's a certain suitability between them.
namely that they have this, they're equal in appearance and voice, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. So if they're not, then Rabbi Hoda continues that considers that they're not considered roy, they're not considered royal over le'imai. So actually what Rabbeinu Bachaya says is, in other words, so what he says is like this, in other words, that as much as the parents love their child, there's no stronger love than parents to children, nevertheless, when Hashem says to do differently, then they themselves would bring them to the Beis Din for Skila. We actually find, for example, just like we find with Avraham, with Hakadosh Yitzchak. So in other words, he's saying, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole concept of Ben Sora Moda never actually happened, but nevertheless, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says that we can say that we can learn from that the power, how powerful Avas Hashem has to be, that it should override, when necessary, even the natural Ava of parents to children. So Tanya Nami Hoche, we learn also in a Braisa, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean by they have to be equal? Rabbi Yehuda Oime, Im Loi Hoise Aviv, Im Loi Hoise Imai, Shavu L'Aviv, Bekoil, Over Mara, Over Koima. If the mother and the father are not the same as far as their voice and their appearance and their height, ain't a nasa ben sora remota, then he won't be able to be a ben sora remota. So when Rabbi Huda says in the Mishnah, ru'uya la'aviv doesn't mean, usually in Gemara terminology, ru'uya or she'ena ru'uya means that there's an issur for them to get married, but no, here it means that they actually have to look and sound the same. My time, because the pasuk says he doesn't listen to our voice, and our voice means, in other words, that they're speaking with one voice. So midkoil be'in and shavin, since we see that they have to have the same voice, says Rabbi Yehuda, marav akoyma be'inami be'in and shavin, then the same thing would be as far as their height and as far as their appearance. Rabbi Yehuda would assume that they all have to be the same. Where do we get that from? Why would we say that? Because why would we say that because one has to be the same, then the others have to be the same as well? So the Tosfos Yom Tov explains we find a similar thing, for example, and in other cases where we say there has to be a certain similarity between two things, for example, the two goats that are brought on Yom Kippur, Lashem and Lazazel, where it says they have to be the same as far as height and appearance and all. So the same way we see over here. That when the Torah is saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they have to be alike in one way, then therefore they should be alike in the other ways as well. Marsha gives a different explanation. Let's consider the Ben Sura Moda, his father and his mother are telling him off and telling him, don't do this. It means eventually he's going to get Malchus, but before that, obviously they've been trying to talk to him and tell him that that you're doing wrong and you need to shape up. Now, and the Pasuk is implying that they give him Musa together. So why that? So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that means, in other words, their voices are so similar that he would afterwards be able to have an excuse and saying, wait a minute, the two of you together never gave me Musa. That he could say, never mind the two together. Each time I thought it was my father giving me Musa and never my mother because you sound alike. So therefore, that's why it would have to be that then when the two of them are speaking together, and then that way it's clear that the two of them. Now, what about then, even if he can't, so you're going to say, wait a minute, so they won't have the same, they'll have the same voice, but how could he use such an excuse? What do you mean? They look different. So therefore, it has to be that they looked the same as well, and conceivably, he could get away with such an excuse and say that I thought that it was always the same parent that was giving me Musa. So that's how Marsha explains it. Ben Yehoyada makes a point as well, also that the Torah wants that both of them are going to be talking to him together. But one thing is also the implication is that it has to be that he's being over on two morois at once, that he's being over on disobeying both of them at once. Now, if they have different voices, we have a concept in halacha called trei koli lo mishtami, two voices when two people are talking over one another, you can't really hear either of them clearly. That is why it has to be that they have the same exact voice. So now he says kind of fakert. When the father is talking with him, it seems to him like his mother is talking to him as well, and he's disobeying both of them. So now the Torah says once they have that they're alike in all these three things, then he feels each time that one parent is talking to him, this is almost the opposite of the Marsha, then he feels as though both of them are talking to him, and then he's disobeying both of them, and therefore that would be that he's over on Moda Av and Moda Aim at the same time.
Ben Yehoyada, by the way, goes on to point out that on the face of it, how is it possible for them to have the same voice anyway? Wouldn't that, for a man to have a high-pitched voice like a woman, or a woman to have a low-pitched voice like a man, is one of the synonym of a sris or ailonis. So he says, because we find elsewhere in the Gemara, when it deals with that matter, that only if a person has all those simonim, one or a few of the simonim of sris or ailonis, is not enough to make them that they are. So it's possible for his parents to actually be his parents and to have fathered and mothered him, and still the father has a higher pitched voice than normal, or the mother has a lower pitched voice than normal. Anyway, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's how it has to be. I once saw a vote on it, the deeper idea behind it is that it means that in order for when a child is not, is going off the derech, unfortunately, many times we can say, you know, it's not his fault. His parents didn't give him a proper chinuch. And one point is, if they don't have the same voice, meaning they don't they have their, they have different, they're not on the same page, then how much can you blame him, a boy, for going off the derech? You have more what to blame the parents. Only if they're koyel echad and they really are both on the same page and they're both giving him the proper chinuch, the way it's supposed to be, and it still doesn't work out, then you can talk about it's more his fault than theirs. Okay. Anyway, the point is, again, going back to the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda is requiring that they all need to be the same. So, Keman Ozla Hodetanya. So now, according to which Tana is the following Braisa that says, Ben So Ramona, like Hoyov, like Osid Lias, the Ben So Ramona never was, never will be. V'loma Nichtav, why is it written, Drosh V'kabel Schar? So we should douse in it and receive reward from Hashem for learning Torah. So, Keman, who would that be like? Rabbi Yehuda, necessarily that must be like Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to the Chachamim, they don't require that the parents have the same voice and the same appearance and so forth. And therefore, it's very possible that a boy would go and do what we've been saying so far and stealing money and eating meat and wine, etc. But only according to Rabbi Yehuda, are we saying it's impossible because realistically you're never going to have parents that have the same exact appearance and height and voice. So again, you have what Rabbeinu Bachaye says in his Pirush on Chumash, that we learn from this the greatness of Avas Hashem, how far a person has to go in Avas Hashem. Ben Yehoyada brings a point that also it means that we should learn Musa for ourselves. The Yetzer Hara might try to convince us, listening, Bonim Atam La'Hashem Alekeichem, you're Hashem's children, you can get away with whatever you want. So we tell them that no, we tell the Yetzer Hara that no, you see from here, you see from this story of Ben Sura murder, that no, a boy doesn't get away with whatever he wants. He might actually get himself killed for not listening to his parents, in the same way we're not listening to you, we're not listening to you, Yetzirah, we're listening to Hashem. The Zohar, in fact, in that connection, mentions so what's the father and the mother, because Hashem relates to us as both. We have Zohar and we have Malchus, we have Kudsha Baruch Hu and Shchinte, and therefore, so we can talk about those two different aspects of how we relate to Hashem as father and as mother. Anyway, so again, so this Braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Another possibility, though, is that that Braisa that says that the Ben Sora murder never was and never will be might be according to Reb Shimon. Netanya, Omer Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon says, "You're telling me that because this boy ate a tartima of meat and drank a half a lug of Italian wine or a half an Italian lug of wine over the imotzi, you're telling me a father and mother would take him out to get skila? What parents would do such a thing?" Says Reb Shimon. Not a matter of it couldn't happen that a boy might do that, but what parents would then go and say that their son should get skila for doing this kind of thing? So therefore, Reb Shimon also says, never was, never will be. It's written only that we should darshan it and get schar from Hashem. So, okay, so two Tannaim who hold that it's impossible. Rabbi Yehuda, because the conditions for it would never happen. Reb Shimon, because even if the conditions happen, the parents would never go through with it. On the other hand, Amar Rabbi Yonason, Ani Re'isiv Yashavti Al Kivrei. On the other hand, Rabbi Yonason says, I saw a case of a Ben Sora Ramona, and I sat on or near his grave. Rabbeinu Bachaya says that even Rabbi Yonason is maybe not saying a true Ben Sora Ramona. Maybe he's talking about, for example, Avshalom, who rebelled against David and almost killed him. So he's tantum, he's not exactly a Ben Sora Ramona, but he's like the next thing to hit. Okay. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Kaman ozla hodetanya." What about according to which Tanner is the following braisa? Irani dachas lehoisa v'loyasidalias. The Irani dachas never was and never will be. Again, why is it written in order to daushin and get a schar for learning Torah? So, come on, who would that be like? Rabbi Yezer. Specifically, that would be like Rabbi Yezer. The Tanya, Rabbi Yezer Omer. Kol ish yesh ba afilu mezuzah achas. If the city has even one mezuzah in it, ein anasas ir nidachas, then it can't become an ir nidachas. So you're going to find a Jewish city, an entire Jewish city, where there's not one single mezuzah. Impossible. Therefore, Rabbi Yezer says it's impossible that it would happen. My timer. Why does Rabbi Huda, why does Rabbi Huda hold that? Why does Rabbi Eliezer rather hold that? Because the Pasuk says about an Irani Dachas, we're going to talk about the Irani Dachas extensively at the end of Omer Sechter, but anyway, the Pasuk says, Ve'eskol Shlola Tikbaitzel Toich Rechoiva, gather all the spoils of the Irani Dachas, all the property of the Irani Dachas, into the city square, Ve'sarafta Ba'esh, and burn it in fire. Now, Ve'kivin De'ik Mezuzah, if there's a Mezuzah, if there's a single Mezuzah in town, Loy Efshir, then you can't. Dichtiv Loy Sasun Kein La'Shem Alekechem, because the Pasuk says you're not allowed to do that. Previously, the Pasuk says that you're not, that you have to destroy and burn and get rid of all of Avodah Zarah. But the Pasuk continues, Loi Sasun Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem, do not do that to Hashem, from which we learn that you're not allowed to destroy Kisvei HaKodesh or anything of Kedusha. So therefore, so now you can't, because then you wouldn't be able to burn the city, because then you'd be over on the issue of burning the mezuzah. There is a considerable amount of discussion among Achronim. Wait a minute, Esse Doichaloisa, say you have an Esse to burn the Irani Dachas. Here you're saying you have a Loisa, say Loisasun Kein Lashem Alekechem. Why shouldn't the Esse of the Irani Dachas, of burning the Irani Dachas, override the Loisa of the Loisa of Loisasun Kein Lashem Alekechem? So a number of Achronim bring up that point, and the Margoliyah Sayyam over here discusses at some length and brings a few possibilities. First of all, maybe the essay is only fulfilled only when the whole city is burnt, and meanwhile the mezuzah is getting burnt before that point. So therefore, maybe so then you're over on the loisa said before being mekayim the essay. That doesn't work according to everybody. And then another reason is essay doicha loisa said doesn't apply to things involving korbanos. So therefore, it doesn't, we find elsewhere in the Gemara. So therefore, maybe it doesn't apply to things involving destroying the name of Hashem as well. And then another point as well is actually because the Torah only wants us to burn the property, the individual property of the people, as we're going to learn in the last parak, what's called Shlal Shamayim, property of Hashem, that's in that city, does not have to be destroyed. So now, therefore, so there's no Esset to burn the mezuzah, and therefore you wouldn't have Esset Doichaloises. And I guess realistically, you wouldn't be able to go and pick out all the mezuzahs from the city. You wouldn't be able to find every single one. And then finally, there are Achronim who argue that maybe there's an Esse and a Lois Esse involved in destroying Hashem's name. You have the mitzvah of Yahavta as Hashem, or as Hashem al-Kechatira, or various other things like that. So therefore, so all told, that in that case, there'd be an Esse and a Lois Esse involved in destroying Hashem's name, in destroying a mezuzah, and therefore... And when there's an Esse and a Lois Esse, then the Esse of burning the Irani Dachas can't apply to it. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Yezer. The Chachamim would say it doesn't matter. According to the Chachamim, maybe you would, in fact, gather up all the mezuzahs and put them in Sheamus. We'll learn about that at the end of the Masechta. So again, Omer Rabbi Yonason again disagrees and says an Irani Dachas is most certainly possible. Anira Isiya v'yashavti al tila. I saw an Irani Dachas and I sat on the ruins of it. Again, he may mean not a true Irani Dachas, but for example, he might mean the city of Yericho, which was treated when they first conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they captured and burnt the city of Yericho and treated it almost like an Irani Dachas. Okay, here's another one. Keman Oz Lahodatanya, which Tana? So far we have, in other words, we have the Ben Sotah Mora, where there's a Braisa that says it can never happen, and we said either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon would hold of that, would be the author of that Braisa. We have an Irani Dachas, according to one opinion, can never happen. That would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Here's another one. Keman Oz Lahodatanya, by some Nuga Loi Hoya Veloi Osud Lias. The concept that a house has tsaras and that you have to tear down the house never was and never will be. Veloma Nichtav, so why is it written? Dorosh V'Kabal Schar is for us to darshan and receive schar from Hashem. Keman K'Rabbi Elazar B'Rabbi Shimon. That would be specifically according to Rabbi Elazar B'Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the conditions to be tsaras on a house, for the house to have to be dealt with, is very limited. The Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah and Negoyim, where it deals with these halachas, Rebbe Lozav, Rebbe Shimon Omer, La'olam ena bayis tomei, the house will never become tomei with saras, ad sheyiroh k'shtei grisin, unless the spot is the size of two grisin. A gris is a type of bean. It comes up in Hilchos Nida, among other things, so therefore the poskim dealt with what the size of it is. There's different opinions among the poskim. The Alter Rebbe makes it approximately the size of a dime, other poskim make it approximately the size of a penny. Anyway, so that would be one gris. So two grisin would be twice that size. I'll stay up on him. On two stones, b'shteik solim, that are on two walls, b'keren zavis, at a corner. So it has to davka be, in other words, that the tzaras will be davka in the corner, extended from one stone on one wall to the other stone that's on the adjacent wall. Okay, k'shnei grisin v'roch b'kegris, the length of the tzaras is at least two grisin, and the width of it is at least one gris. So in other words, each wall is going to have at least one gris square. Now, this is very uncommon for that kind of thing to happen, and therefore the Braisa can say that that sort of thing never was and never will happen. My time in the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, why does he hold that it has to be that configuration? Because ksiv kir uchtiv kir rois. Because in the section about in Parshas Metzora, where it talks about tzaras of houses, first it says that he sees the nega b'kir rois habayis in the walls of the house, but then it says that the kohen comes and sees and umarei and shofel min akir, that it looks like it looks depressed into the wall. So ksiv kir uchtiv kir rois, it says a wall and it says two walls, ezeu kir shuhu kirois, which wall is in effect two walls. Heavy omer is a keren zavis. That means a corner where two walls meet. On the other hand, so therefore, according to him, it never happens. On the other hand, Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadik, Mokum Hoya B'Tchum Aza, there was a place in the vicinity of the city of Aza, Gaza, they called it the wound house with Tzaras. So in other words, there was a house with Tzaras over there that had to be demolished. And since they never rebuilt it, so they called it the ruin with tzaras. So we see, in other words, according to that opinion, there was in fact a house with tzaras in Eretz Yisrael in the vicinity of Aza. Amr Rav Shimon Ishkvar. Nowadays we have other tzaras there that needs to be cleaned out. But anyway, Amr Rav Shimon Ishkvar Akoy. He was another example. Pa machas halachti legolul. One time, Rav Shimon says, I went to the Golul, to the north of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'isim mokum shemet signin oy. So I saw a place that they were marking so that people shouldn't overshadow it. Now, normally that would mean that there's too much mess over there. But here in this case, they told me, Avonim and Ugois, Pinu Lasham, they had taken away to their stones from a house that had Saras, where is the Psukim described? You have to take away the stones and put in new stones and replaster, and those stones themselves are Matame Ba'oihol as well. So we see that there were at least two places in Eretz Yisrael where there was, in fact, saras of houses. One in Aza, where they had to demolish the house, and the other one in the Golo, where they had to take stones out of it. Okay. The Mishnah continues, getting back to the Ben Soda murder. Hoya echad mehem gidim. If either one of the parents was an amputee, he or she had their hand or their arm amputated, oichiger, or lame, missing a foot. Oy ilaim, or unable to speak, oy suma, or blind, oy cheresh, or deaf. In all those cases, ein nasa ben soda remota. In all those cases, the boy can't become a ben soda remota. Benema, because the pasuk says v'sof suvoi, the pasuk says they should grab him v'sof suvoi over v'imoi, which implies v'legidmin, so they can't be amputees because then they wouldn't be able to grab him. The pasuk says v'itziu oy, so they bring him out to Beis Din, so that means v'lechigrin, they can't be lame. V'omru, they speak to the Beis Din. That means v'loy ilman, so they can't be mute. B'neinu zeh, they say this son of ours, implies v'loy suman, that they're not blind, that they're able to point to him and say this is our son. When they say nenu shemeh b'keleinu, he's not listening to our voice. Then v'loy chershid, so it means they can't be deaf. So it has to be all these criteria. They can't be any of these things, and if they are, then the ben soda remota. Rashi points out that even though you're going to say, wait a minute, so they're telling him what to do, and they still see that he's not doing it later on. Nevertheless, the point is that the fact is the Gemara is going to explain on Amud Beis this whole
pasuk as extra. We didn't really need this pasuk to tell us the din of ben sora demorta. Therefore, we can darshan these points from it that it has to be like this. That it has to be that that when they're telling him the musa, when they're being mechiyachim, then right away they can see that he's not accepting what they're saying, and therefore, for example, that it can't be that they're blind or that they're blind or deaf, etc. So the Mishnah continues. By the way, the Maharsha mentioned the point over there when we said, when we learned before, we said Reb Shimon had said, what do you mean? That because he's eating meat and drinking wine, therefore they'd give him skila. So droish v'kabel schar means, in other words, that people should realize taka to give musa proactively to their children and make sure that they don't, instead, the father and the mother should be raising their children for Torah. And each one of them, the father and the mother, has their schus in helping raise a proper child. So now when one or the other of them is not getting involved, and the children just end up doing bittul Talmud Torah, they end up not learning, and they end up wasting their time, then that's a problem. So that's the Jurish V'kabel Schar that we learn from it. The Mishnah continues. Mastrin boy b'fnei shloisha. They give hasra to him in front of three. Now the Gemara is going to ask why. You only need two for hasra usually, so we'll see in the Gemara what that means. And if he doesn't listen, then they give him malchus. And after that, if he still goes and acts badly again and does the same thing and steals and eats the meat and wine, etc., Nidin, then he has to get judged by a Beis Din of 23. And then they're the ones who sentence him to skila. The In order for him to get skila, it has to be that the original three dayonim who gave him malchus, because if we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you only need three dayonim for malchus. Those three have to be present there with the 23. They don't necessarily have to be members of the 23 member based in, but they have to at least be present. As the pasuk says, that the parents say to the Beis Din, "B'neinu zeh, this our son," meaning "zeh shaloka b'fneichem, this is our son who previously got malchus in your presence." Okay. Now, so we said in the Mishnah that you have to have all these details. You have to have that the parents can't be lame or blind, etc. All the other things that we mentioned in the Mishnah because of the expression in the pasuk. That where they say v'sofsuboy, where they grab a hold of him v'otziu and they take him, etc. Now we have a machloikus in various places in Shas called b'inan krok dichtiv. When the pasuk says details, we learned this earlier in the Masechta. Do we require the details to be done exactly as it says in the pasuk? We talked about earlier in the Masechta, for example, where the Torah tells us yada edim tiyaboy barishona, the edim have to be the first ones to throw the first stone or to do whatever it comes, whatever whichever kind of Mrs. Baston, it is that they were the ones. So we talked about over there what happens if they're missing their hands. Then is he potter from Misa or not? What happens? So and we talked about there over there the concept of b'in and krok dichtiv. Do we require that a posik be fulfilled exactly, or can we say the posik is talking the usual way things are done, but nevertheless it can be done differently? Here it seems that we have a proof that b'in and krok dichtiv, that it's ma'akavim b'di'evin. The answer is no. Shiny hocha. Here it's different. The entire pasuk is otherwise unnecessary because once we're saying that it's a ben sora murder, all it has to say is right. Say to Moshe, you bring him out el shara irahi to the gate of that city, or scout him and he gives skila. Why do you need the whole pasuk that his father and his mother grab a hold of him and they take him out to the Beis Din and they say this son of ours, etc., etc.? So therefore we can darshan that from the pasuk that you need all these details. Okay. Now we said a master in b'fnei shloisha. We said we give him hasra in front of three. The question is, what do you mean three? Lomali b'tshrei sagya. Two is usually enough for hasra. The answer is Omar Abaya, Hochi Kamer, Masterin by Bifnei Shnayim, or Malkin Oisi Bifnei Shloisha. What it means is that the Hasra has to be given in front of two, but the Malkus has to be given in front of three, as Malkus usually is, because as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you need three for Malkus. Now, Rashi explains that the Hasra that we're talking about over here is not really the regular kind of Hasra. Rashi points out that it's true that usually a person gets Hasra only with Malkus, but the problem is over here, first of all, we need Edim. We don't necessarily have that, but more to the point, this is Hasra Suffolk. What do you mean? We have to give him Hasra. If you do this, you're going to be Chayiv Malkus. We don't know whether he's going to follow through with all the details that we've been learning in the last few Mishnayos. So therefore,
After all, he's doing it later on, and he's doing it in secret. So how would there be Hasra anyway? So no, Rashi says the Hasra over here means Mechichinoisai, since the Pesach of Yisroisai, they have to give him Musar, means, in other words, they have to warn him not to keep on doing this. So in other words, Rashi is saying that here, after the first time when he steals and eats the meat and wine and so forth, then Beis Din gives him a reprimand. So we're not talking about regular hasara. We're telling him, don't do this again. And then if he does this again, then he gets malchus, and then he gets malchus, and then eventually, if he keeps on doing this again. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about this unique hasra that you give him to begin with, which therefore that's why the Mishnah says that you need it in front of three, because it's haka, you do need it in front of three. But when the Mishnah, when we're saying master and Rebbe Fnishnaim, would be the hasra that we have later on, the regular hasra, in order for him to get malchus and so forth. The Maharal, in fact, points out that we learn from this, even though usually ein eid nasa dayan, the eidim themselves cannot be dayanim, but here, since like Rashi is saying, this is not a regular hasra, this is basically based in telling him, don't keep doing this, then that's fine. Then the Beis Din themselves can do it. On the other hand, this is all according to Rashi. The Rambam learns differently, and the Rambam learns that no, the Hasra of our Mishnah is the regular time after he steals, after he's been given Hasra for the stealing, and then he goes and steals and eats the meat and so forth, then he would already get Malchus for that. And the point would be, in other words, that even though the point would be, even though as the next Mishnah is going to tell, as we're going to learn later on, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Nidin al Shem Sefer. This is different than the usual case of a person being Chayiv Misa. He's not Chayiv Misa so much for the stealing and the eating and so forth, but rather al Shem Sefer, because proactively, because eventually he's going to end up being a thief and a robber, etc. So you would think maybe you don't need regular Asura, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us you need regular Asura, but the Mishnah is telling us, even though it makes it sound like you need Asura in front of three, it's really you only need Asura in front of two, just like everybody else. Okay. So the Gemara says Malchus by Ben Sora Ramota Hechiksiva. Where do we find the concept of Malchus by Ben Sora Ramota? And the answer is Kidir Abba Bohu. Like Rabba Bohu says, we can learn it from the Pasuk. Do Amar Abba Bohu, Lamanu V'Yisru, Mi V'Yisru. We learn as follows. We have a chain of Gzeira Shavas. We have V'Yisru, that it says over here by the Ben Sora Ramota, V'Yisru, so they afflict him. We learn that from another place where it says V'Yisru, by the Motzi Shemra. Where the Pasuk also says that Beis Din takes him v'yisru. So v'yisru mi ben. In turn, that yisru we learn from where the Pasuk says v'hoya im bin hakois harasha. So rather it starts out like this. We start with having to figure out that the yisru of Motzi Shemra means Malchus. We learn that from the yisru that it says by the Ben Sora Ramota. In turn, by the Ben Sora Ramota it says Ben. By Malchus it also says Ben. V'hoyim bina koisa rosha or Ben mi Ben. And then we learn that from another. We learn that from another Ben that in fact it means So Lamanum v'yistrum mi ben u ben mi ben, and then by the ben by Ben Sora Ramota we learn from Ben where it says by Malchus v'oyem bina koisa rosha, and therefore we see that he's getting Malchus, and we see that the Motzi Shemra is also getting Malchus. So that's how we learn that the Ben Sora Ramota gets Malchus. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Chozer v'Kilkel, if again he does the same bad thing, Nidin be'esru m'shloisha, then he's judged by 23 v'chola, and we said that the original three dayonim have to be present. So the question is, why? Because it says b'neinu zeh. But the question is, ha'imi bari lo zeh v'lo sumen. We said in the Mishnah that the word b'neinu zeh teaches us that they're not blind. How can we also use it to teach us that the original three dayonim have to be there? And the answer is im kain lichta b'neinu hu. Then the pasuk could have said he our son, my b'neinu zeh. Instead, it says b'neinu zeh shema min atarti. Therefore, we can learn both dinim that the original three dayanim have to be there, and that the parents can't be blind. That's a coincidence. Actually, the Yad Ramah learns a little differently. That it could have just said b'neinu sora ramota. And again, if it just meant to exclude the blind, it could have said b'neinu hu. Okay, the Mishnah says. Baruch ad shel enigma dinai. Now, if the Ben Sora Ramota runs away before the Gemar Din, now we learned at the beginning of the Perek that for him to be a Ben Sora Ramota, there's only a small window of opportunity Namely, where from when he developed Shkei Sairus until we said Anshehikif Zokon until the hair surrounds the Aver over there. So now, if he ran away and Vachakach Hikif Zokon and Tachton, and then later on the hair grew in, and now by the time we catch him, he has enough hair surrounding that area, Potter, then he's Potter because at this point he's already he has a different din. Now he can't be a Ben Soramoda anymore. The Imish Enigma Dine Borach. On the other hand, if he ran away after Gmau Din, after they had already sentenced him to Skila, Vachakachik of Zakana Tachton, and then the Zakana Tachton grows in, Chayev, then he would be Chayev Skila. He has a different status, but at this point it's already after Gmau Din, because at this point it's already after Gmau Din, and therefore he's already considered a dead man walking. Havrik Gavrik Taylor, Rashi says. It's one thing. When he ran away and before the Gmau Din, we have to try to exonerate him, and here we can easily do that because we can find a reason to exonerate him. Because he's past the age of a Ben Sora Ramoda. But once the Gmau Din has already been done, we have no obligation to try to look for schus for him. So the Gemara brings in this connection a similar point. So what are we saying? In other words, in effect, that because the Ben Sora Ramoda's status changed, therefore the halacha about him changes. Because now he's past Zokon HaTachton, then therefore the din changes and he's not Chayiv Skila anymore. So let's learn a similar din. Amar Rav Chanina, Ben Noyach Sheberech HaShem. If a Ben Noyach cursed Hashem, whereas we learned in the previous Perek as one of his Shev Mitzvot Ben Noyach, Vachakach Nis Gayer, and then he became a Ger, Potter, then he'll be Potter from Misa. However, Nishtana Dinoy, Nishtana Misosai. Because Vinishtansa Misosai. Because his din has changed, because he's now not a Ben Noyach anymore. Before, he could have been judged by one aid and one dayan and no Asra. Now you need Asra and a Sanhedrin of 23 and two aidim of all of that. Therefore, Nishtanas Misosai. Therefore, his death changes as well. As a Ben Noyach, he would have been Chayef Saif. He would have been given Hereg, as we learned in the previous Perek. If he did it now as a Yid, he would have been Chayiv Skila. Well, he never was Chayiv Skila in the first place, therefore he's completely Potter. So the Gemara says, name a Messiah, like, can we say that our Mishnah supports Rav Chanina? Borach Ad Shel Enigma Dine, we're saying that if he ran away before Gmar Din, V'achakachikiv Zokon HaTachton, and then afterwards... and then afterwards, his and then Zokon HaTachton grows in Potter. My timer. Why? Bepashtus, the same idea. Because once he changed, once he's passed the window of opportunity for a Ben Sora Ramoda, then we can't judge him as one anymore. Even though he originally did the act when he was still within that age. So does our mission approve what Rav Chanina is saying? The answer is loy, not necessarily. Shiny hocha, the Ovid hashta, la baktolu. No, because the difference is with a Ben Sora Ramoda, if he were to now, as after Zokon HaTachton, if he were to steal money and buy meat and wine, etc., he wouldn't become a Ben Sora Ramoda in the first place. As opposed to this Ben Noyach who converted, he's chayev for Birkas Hashem as a Ben Noyach, he's still chayev for the same Aveda as when he's a Yid. So not necessarily would we say that would be a reason to pater him from Misa. So no, our Mishnah is not a proof for that. Incidentally, Tosfos points out that based on a different Gemara, that a Ben Noyach who becomes a Ger, Hashem may hold him responsible for the fact that he didn't become a Ger all this time and may hold it against him the various Averis that he did during that time. But here we're talking about Dine Odom. Would it be Chayv Misa? Would it be Chayv Misa's based in? So Rav Chanina is saying that not in a case like this. But again, we don't have a proof from our Mishnah. Fine. Toshma, let's try to prove from the next part of the Mishnah. In Mishnah Nigma Dinim Borach, where we said if he runs away after the Gmar Din, and then the Zokon HaTachton grows in Chayev, then he's Chayev Misa. So here we say that even though his status has changed, nevertheless he's still Chayev Misa. So that would prove the opposite of what Rav Chanina is saying. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't prove anything. Nigma Dinah, comrade. You're talking about when after Gmar Din, Nigma Dinah, Gavrik Taylor, who once Gmar Din has taken place, he's a dead man walking already. So of course, we can't say that Nishtana Dinah. It's different in the case of the Ben Noyach we're talking about over here. That where there was never sentenced in the first place as a Ben Noyach, and therefore not necessarily and therefore not necessarily would we say that he maybe he could be punished, maybe not. We can't prove one way or the other from our Mishnah. Fine. Toshma, Ben Noyach Shehika Eschabera. Here, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, a Ben Noyach killed another Ben Noyach, or Baal Esh Eschabera, or he had relations with another Goy's wife, Vinis Gayer, and then he becomes a Ger, Potter. Then he's Potter because if he had done these things as a Yid, he wouldn't be Chayiv Misa. If a Yid kills a Goy, it's also, he's Oivran Lo Sirtzach, but he's not Chayiv Misa for it. A Yid has relations with a Goy's wife, he's not Chayiv Misa for it. On the other hand, also Cain Bisro. On the other hand, if he had killed a yid or had relations with a yid's wife, Venisgayer, and then he became a ger, chayev, then he would be chayev misa. Now, v'amai, now according to Rabbi Chanina, why would we say that he's chayev? Name a hoyova ishtini ishtini. Wouldn't we say that because his status has changed, and where before he didn't need two edim and asra and so forth, and now he does, then according to Rabbi Chanina's principle, ishtini, it should be different, and he shouldn't be chayev misa, and yet the Braisa is saying he is. The answer is dinayomisosabinin. In order for him to be potter from Misa, it has to be that the din, the way of bringing him to Beis Din, is different, and that the type of Misa is also different. So, in Reb Chanina's case, that works, because as a Ben Noach, you would need only one aid and no Hasra and so forth, and his Misa would be the Saif, whereas with a Yid, you would need two aidim and Hasra and so forth, and his Misa would be with Skila. Vahai, in this case, where he killed a yid or had relations with a Jew's wife, dina ishtini misosala ishtini. The din is different because doing this as a goy, he would need only one aid and no asra, and as a yid, he needs two aid and an asra. But misosala ishtini, but the misa is no different. Even if he did this as a yid, he would be chayev of the same misa. So therefore, that's not a reason to potter him. Well, the Gemara says, what do you mean? B'shleimer Ritzeach, fine, by Ritzeach, it's easy to understand. Me'ikra Sayef, v'hashta Sayef. Because as a Ben Noach killing, he would have been Chayef Sayef, he would have been given head, his head would have been chopped off. And now, as a Yid, that's one of the two cases that's Chayef Hereg as well is killing. So therefore, that would be a good reason to say he's not Potter. Ella Eishes Ish. But what do you mean by an Eishes Ish? The Misa is no different. Me'ikra Sayef, v'hashta Chenech. But as a Ben Noach, he would have been getting Saif for Znus with an Eishes Ish. Now as a Yisrael, he's getting Chenek. So it is a different Misa. The answer is B'naira HaMorosa, because we're talking about where the woman that he had relations with was a Naira HaMorosa, Da'aydi Va'aydi B'Skila, where in both cases he's getting Skila. Even though we learned earlier in the Masechta that a Ben Noach usually gets Hereg, but the whole concept of a Naira Marasa doesn't apply among Bnei Noach, and therefore we said that there we treat him like a Yisrael and we give him Skila. So it really is the same thing. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Also came Yisrael, Dumya De'eshes Chaveira Katoni. What do you mean though? The Mishnah continues, when he did the Braise rather had said, when he does this by a Yid, contrasting it with where he did it by a fellow Goy's wife. Now, by a fellow goy's wife, there's no such thing as a naira marasa, as we said. There's only nisuin and bia. There's only bia makes her his wife. So the braisa obviously has to be saying that we're talking about, and the parallel case by a yid would also be where she's fully married. So how could you say that it means that in this case we're talking specifically about a naira marasa? That's not parallel. That's not parallel to how you'd have with a goy. So fine, the Gemara says you're right. What we have to say is as follows. When it comes to a lesser degree of punishment, it's included in the harsher one. So in other words, here, Ben Noach would have been getting Saif. Had he done it with an Eishes Ish of Yisrael, then he would be getting Chenek. Chenek is less severe than Saif, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So in other words, the harsher punishment that he would have gotten as a goy includes the lesser punishment that he would have gotten as a yid. So now we can say, in other words, in effect, we would say that the misa. In effect, we can say he would have gotten. We could have given him chenek as a goy, but instead we upgraded him to skit. Instead, we upgraded him to saif. But now, as a yid, he still has chenek. So therefore, we could still say that the same punishment applies. So the Gemara says, "Hanichal Rabbanan, da'ami Sayif Chomer." Well, that works according to the Chachamim, who say that Sayif is the more severe punishment. Elo the Reb Shimon d'ama Chenek Chomer Ma'ikol Meimer. What about according to the Reb Shimon, who says that Chenek is more stringent? That it's the other way around. You can't say that he as a goy would have been Shayach to Chenek in the first place. He would have been getting Sayif, which according to the Reb Shimon is the least severe of all of them. The answer is Reb Shimon, Savala Katana Dvei Menashe. Reb Shimon, in fact, holds like Tana Dvei Menashe that we learned in the Sugya about Shev Mitzvah Vnei Noach, Do'omar Kol Misa Amur L'Vnei Noach, Einei L'Chenek, where he says that in any case, the default Misa for Bnei Noach is not, in fact, Saif, but rather Chenek, so therefore good, so it works out very nicely according to him. Well, the Gemara says, Bishlema Eishes Ish, so then in that case, let's work out with an Eishes Ish. Mi'ikra Chenek V'hashta Chenek. Fine, then according to Tana Dvei Menashe, originally as a goy, he would have gotten chenek for being mezana with an eishes ish of a yid, and now also he gets chenek as a yid. Ela reitzeach, but then in that case you have to ask how would it work by the reitzeach. Me'ikra chenek v'hashta saif. It comes out, according to Tana Dvei Menashe, originally for killing a yid, when he, if he did that as a goy, he would have been chayev chenek. as Tanit Vemenasha's rule is, and now as a yid, instead he gets sayif for that. And according to Reb Shimon, sayif is more severe than chenek. So the Gemara says, fine, here's where we can use the answer that we said before, kala b'chamura meshach shaycha. The lesser one is included in the greater one. The fact is, we could say that as a ben noyach, he's chayav chenek for it, and as a Yisrael, he's chayav chenek, but instead we upgrade him from chenek to sayif. That's not a contradiction. It still means the original misa is still shaykh to him. Okay, so no proof still one way or the other for that, for Rav Chanina's din, but the Gemara finishes off. Lema Messiah, can we finish off? Can we say then that we can bring a proof for Rav Chanina's din from the following? Talking about a Naira Moirasa, Sorcha Vachakach Bogra, if she was Mizana, Sorcha means she acted wrongly, and then later on she became a Bogeris. The whole concept of Naira Moirasa is only while she's a Naira, during the 6 months after she develops Shtei Sairus. So then, if later on she became a Bogeris, Tiden Bechenek, then she gets Chenek. Beskila my time aloy, now why isn't she getting Skila as she would have as a Naira? Lav Mishum Dahoyova Ishtini Ishtini. It must be because since her status changed, she went from a Naira to a Bogeris. Then therefore her din changes as well. Here all the more so because he changed completely, because at least by the Naira Marasa who became a Begeras, you still have both as a Naira and as a Begeras, you still need two Edim and Asra and a based in of 23 and so forth. Here you have an even bigger change because the Ben Noyach is not only is there a difference in the Misa, but there's a difference in there in how you bring them to the Misa, because before you needed only one aid and here you need two, etc. So therefore, that would be a proof to Rabbi Chanina's din. The Gemara says, no. Ha'amalei Rabbi Yechon Latana, toni b'skila, tiden b'skila. In fact, you should teach in your braisa that she is, in fact, chayiv skila, because yes, even though her body has changed, her misa has not changed. So therefore, in fact, according to that braisa, it would come out that Rabbi Chanina, that in Rabbi Chanina's case, the goy would actually still be chayiv misa. Okay, so we still don't have a solid proof against Rav Chanina, and the halacha is in fact like him, which means an interesting thing, by the way. We always say ger shenis gayer kekotin shener ledami, that when a person becomes a ger, he's considered like a newborn child. But here we actually see, at least as far as these dinim, that he's not, and there's still a remnant of what he did before, such that if he did something before as a So Rav Chanina is actually saying that in a case like this, where the din and the misa change, then in fact he's potter. But in other cases, we're saying there could be a case where someone did something as a ben noyach, for example, killing a yid, or being mezana with a Jew's eishes ish, and he's still chayav misa even after he became a ger. So in that case, the avera is not wiped away just by him becoming a ger.